And you all know we need some light in this world today. As I was studying this, God just gave me some revelation. I just love God for speaking. I'm always listening. I'm trying my best to stay dialed in so I can listen, not only for you all, but for me. And so we don't come here and just play games. Somebody say amen. Amen. And we're dealing with so much. We don't have time. We don't have a minute to waste with just hearing somebody speak. We need a word from God. So if you're taking notes, take notes. I mean, this is ridiculous right here. I mean, I got notes on my notes. I mean, there's no space on there. I know we're not going to finish today, but that's why we have next week. Somebody say amen. So here we are. Did I say John chapter 8 and verse 12? Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So make a note, Jesus is the light of the world. He says, if we join him, then we will not have a life that practice darkness, but we will have the light of life. So I kind of paraphrase that. Make a note, Jesus is in the temple. He's in the temple again. He's teaching in the temple. So he's bringing a New Testament message to an Old Testament mindset. Jesus speaks to the Jews in the temple and tells them he's the light of the world. Jesus says, if you join with me as a follower of Christ, if you accept me and not reject me, if you receive me and not run from me, you will not live a life practicing darkness. Darkness, when you look at it in the Greek, it says wickedness and misery in hell. It's darkness. He said you will have the light, and the light in the Greek is the brilliant quality, spiritual purity, moral and spiritual truth and knowledge of life, and life in the Greek is real and genuine, absolute fullness, a blessed life. So let me try and put that, paraphrase it so we understand. Verse 12, look at it again. Jesus says, I am the bright brilliance of the world, of this orderly system of deception. If you join with me, you should not walk in wickedness and go to hell, but you shall have the light, the brilliance, the purity of a blessed life. You see why they were offended in Jesus? Not trying to hear that. Oh, it gets better though, family. And here's the revelation that God gave me. Okay, number one, Jesus says he's the light of the world. Man, that's a huge declaration. We've had a lot of good men. We've had a lot of good people. We've had arguments about in sports, who's the greatest of all times, who's this, who's that. But none of them claim to be the light of the world. I don't care who's better, Jordan or Kobe, I don't. They're not the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Don't get caught up in people. Nobody's the light of the world. Jesus is the only one that's what separates him. That's why he's so distinct. That's why he's so controversial, because he told him, I'm the bread of life. If you don't accept me, you dying and going to hell. He said he came down from heaven. He didn't start off like us. He's not like us. There's no comparison to us. Everybody we listen to today outside of this word of God started like we started. And they're common just like we're common. They are not the light of the world. They're not the bread of life. So here's the revelation that God gave. He said, we've been, the enemy, we talked about the enemy with the wheat and the tares that grow up together. The counterfeit and the real are right next to each other. So here's a revelation. God said, as a church, we've got stuck on the wrong comparison, because the enemy has infiltrated the church and society, and we focus on the wrong comparisons. Okay, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, this is what I mean. We'll focus on old versus new, right? We'll focus on hot versus cold, young and old, sickness and health, for better or for worse, good versus evil. Those are all natural. We'll focus on Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal. See, we're all, oh, I'm a liberal. You're focusing on the wrong. It's not that. It's spiritual. It's light and dark. That's all. Either you're light or you're dark. That's it. When I do a marriage, I'm going to have to incorporate that when I say for better or for worse, richer or for poor, sickness and in health. Do you choose to be light or dark with this marriage? See, that's different. Somebody in your job, you tell them, you know about Jesus Christ. You need to get saved. They'll tell you, I'm a good person. No, it's not about good and bad. It's about light and dark. You can be good walking in darkness and go right to hell. It's not about good or bad. It's about light or dark. Oh, I'm good, man. I'm a good person. I don't hurt nobody. I don't bother nobody. I mind my own business. Stop. See, we got caught up in the wrong comparisons. It's not even success or failure. It's not gay or straight. That's the wrong comparison. It doesn't matter. Are you light or dark? That's all you're going to be held accountable for. Did you walk in the light or did you walk in darkness? And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If Christ is in us, then our light can shine and we're the light of the world because Christ is in us. If he's not, you're walking in darkness. I don't care how much money you got, where you live at, what you do, what you don't do, how many old ladies you help across the street, how many kids you go into a school and work with, how many kids you don't go into school and work with, whatever you do, whatever you don't do, if you're not light, you're dark. And that's it. Stop arguing with people. Just ask them, do you walk in light or darkness? And if they don't know the difference, then you explain to them, well, Jesus is the light of the world. Oh, no, I don't get it. That's a... Then you're in darkness. And then they're offended. Remember Jesus asked them this week, does this offend you? Because I said, I'm the bread of life and you're not. Because I'm in control of everything that happens and you're not. Does that offend you? That you just shouldn't do your own thing? So Jesus says he's the light of the world, and we're not. And people are going to be offended. Hey, I'm giving it to y'all like God gave it to me. And this is what we got to come to grips with. I don't care what's going on in our life. We've been dealing with the wrong comparisons. Even black and white, it don't matter what color you are. That's a color. We're talking in the spiritual realm. Get past color, go to the spiritual realm. Are you light or dark? There's plenty of black people that are in darkness. Even they are dark. I've seen some black folks that are black. Jamaica, I did that because you're here, Jamaica. I'm just kidding. She'll tell me when I'm dead, you can't say that kind of stuff. No, but hear what I'm saying. You can be black and walking in the light. You can be light white and walking in darkness. It's not about color. We got stuck on the wrong comparison. And Satan makes sure that we major in the minors and folks are dying and going to hell. Get you caught up in the color of somebody's skin. And not what's going on in their heart. Do they have Christ in their heart? Oh, God, help us this morning. So I got this. Okay, I got old, young. It's not even about you being smart or dumb. Doesn't matter. Could be dumb as a rock, but you walking in the light. It's not even about sickness and the health. And now my health is messed. So what? Are you still walking in the light? Because that's temporary. Don't get caught up in the wrong comparisons. It says Christ is the light of the world. There is no need for another. Nobody else has made that declaration that they are the light of the world. Because no other name, no other person shines brighter than Christ. Christ heals, delivers, he sets free, he's rescued and saved us. He's the light of the world. Many good people have lived and died. None claim to be the light of the world. Then people get offended at the church. Because see, we're the last stand. Because we're not going to get into what you are, what you do. We just want to know if you light or dark. Are you in your spirit? Is your spirit lighter? And the only way it can be light is if Christ is in your heart and illuminated it. Illuminated your heart. We don't care if you're gay or straight. I don't care about that. You're straight people walking in darkness. Is gay people struggling with that? That's walking in the light. It's people who got money in darkness. It's people who got no money in the light. It's people who got no money that's walking in darkness. We got to get off the wrong comparison. But people are offended in the church, but imagine how dark this world would be without the church. Without someone bringing some light to the table, the light of Christ. Keep bringing the light of Christ with you. That's why I said, let your light shine. I'm in you, so now you have the light in you. Let it shine. People see your good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. The world would be a bigger mess. Says people hate the church, they have no idea how dark this world would be without the Holy Spirit of God and his people. Verse 12. Then Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So then let's look how this, let's go do the prequel. Let's look how this whole conversation got started. Look at verse 1. Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came unto the temple. Somebody underline that. Early in the morning he came to the temple. He didn't go to church late. He was there early. And I think it says, and some people were there meeting, so people were there early too. Right? Does it say that? Is that verse 3? What does it say? Verse 2. Thank you, Sister Brandy. Oh, and the people came unto him. And all the people, they were all there on time. Somebody say, amen. It's something to be said. And even this morning as we were worshiping God, I mean, God was speaking during worship. I don't know if you were listening, but I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. God was speaking during the worship this morning. It's something to be said to get there on time and expect God to show up. And the people came unto him and he sat down. Look how Jesus, I just love Jesus. He sat down, he got comfortable, and he taught them. Jesus didn't discriminate. He didn't play favorites. He'd go to a rich sinner's house. He'd work with a blind beggar. He met the woman at the well. The other woman who came and washed his feet with her tears. They tried to say, if you knew what type of woman she was, you wouldn't let her touch you. See, he didn't discriminate. That's why we got to know the word. Jesus gets up early in the morning, went to the temple again. Remember, he was in the temple teaching about the bread of life. So now he's back in the temple. Says there are people there in the temple early on time because they knew that God is in the temple. Family, we should run to church knowing that the presence of God is in this place. We, after what we deal with all week, we should be lining up at the door trying to get in. If we knew that the presence of God, and you know, we're here and we don't play games. We're not a perfect church, we know that. But we don't play games and we don't play with God. Y'all know that we're trying to usher in the presence of God every Sunday and then bring the word of God. So that God can heal, deliver, and set free. Not us, we're just setting the atmosphere for God to move, for God to teach. So we should be running here. After a long week dealing with the world, so I can't wait to get here in the mornings with the men and we just kind of talk. Even from Sunday to Wednesday, it's a lot going on. I love coming to Bible study to putting life back in biblical perspective, and then coming Sunday mornings and just being encouraged by the men. And I truly believe God is here from the worship to the word, from the opening prayer to the benediction. God is speaking through the hugs, the hello, the fellowship. You all are some beautiful people, and I love you. I want y'all to know that I'm so privileged to be your pastor. I thank God for that. That you all are, you love the word of God. You love God's people. And let's just make it a point just to be here and expect God, be here on time and expect the presence of God to be here, just like it is right here. It has it right here. It says, I need you and we need each other. Somebody say amen. Trust me, we're not going to make it alone. I need you and we need each other. Make it a conscious effort just to be here. And you all don't realize it, but when you're not here, like, we'd miss you. It's somebody needs what you have that morning, and that's how the enemy just tells you, you're too tired, you're this, you're that, and somebody needs to hear your testimony that day. Somebody needs your hug that day. Somebody needs your encouragement and your smile that day. The church is not the building, it's us, it's the people. So here's Jesus, he sits down. Presence of God comes in and sits in the midst of this people. He starts teaching. Make a note, Jesus is kind, he's caring, he's compassionate, he's sympathetic, he's empathetic, he's loving, and he's just. It's demonstrated in every aspect of his teaching. And then it gets interesting. And the scribes and the Pharisees, all the religious folks, it's a difference between a relationship and religious folks. The folks that want to tell you how you should be living your life. And they're not living that life. But they sure can tell you. So in verse 3, they're going to bring a woman, bring unto Jesus. He's teaching in church. He's teaching from the word. He's talking about the word. He is the word. And they're going to come in church and interrupt church. They don't care about people. They don't care about God. They don't care about you. They just want to care about their legalistic, hypocritical agenda. They could care less about you. They could care less about the lady. They could care less about the people that's trying to hear from God. They come in with their agenda and they want to push that on you. So here they are in church. Watch out for that legalism. Show some grace. Jesus is sitting there showing grace and love, and then here come the religious folks. Please don't be one of those. Don't be one of those religious folks. Extend the grace and the love. Be the light. Don't conform, don't sell out, but don't be all stuck on stuff. Get into people, learn about who people are, learn what they're going through, build relationship through love and light, then that's what draws them to Christ. Not what these guys are doing. Okay, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. That's something. We trying to have church. How about you pull me to the side afterwards and we talk about it? But see, they got to be the show. It's not about God, it's about them. Ain't that something? In the middle of this, Jesus, what he said? He sat down and he's teaching, and then here comes, excuse me. Like I said, you just got to watch out for that kind of stuff. Don't care about her. They didn't show any grace. Number one, if we read the scripture, which we will, Moses said both of them. And Moses really focused on the man. Look at Leviticus 20. Jill, take us to Leviticus 20 and 10. Oh, I mean, we know that adultery is a big, it was a big deal then, it's a big deal now. We try and water it down, but it's not the unforgivable sin. But it is a big deal. It was a big deal then, it's a big deal now. Oh, family, I'm not getting through this today. Y'all gotta be ready for next week too. We just touched it. You know, and I love doing series because I never finish. And those, the few of us was here that first day in July in 2012, what's that now, 7 years ago when I gave that message, the three of us that were here, when I got invited to speak, I didn't finish that either. So y'all, it was nice enough to invite me back, and now look at what God's doing. But we're not going to finish this, but next week we'll, you know, we're on the series, I'm the Light of the World. Oh my gosh, okay. Whew. Verse, did I say 20 and 10? The man that commits adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. It's talking about the man and the woman. How do these hypocritical dudes just roll up in there with the woman? The law says, well, where is the man? See, they have a whole different, they don't care. They didn't care about women. They didn't care about the man. They just wanted to say, show that they're smarter than God. Make a note, people don't care about God. When they're arguing with you, they just want to show that they're smarter than God. Which means they're deceived by Satan to think that they're smarter than God. And these guys aren't going to even quote the law right. The law says. But they're not even following the law that they're trying to hold Jesus to. And that's the whole point. They're trying to, people are trying to put on you what they're not even following. Extend some grace. Extend some love. Be light. Stop majoring in the minors. Stop with all the other comparisons. Let's talk about the soul. Is it in light or is it in darkness? And you can't work for it. You just have to receive Christ who lights your soul when he comes into your heart with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to just leave y'all on a huge cliffhanger today. Verse 10, because I have all the way down to 16. And I'm going to stop. Okay? And then we're going to pick it up next week. Because we're going to just spend some time on... It's a big deal. We know that God created sex to be good between husband and wife. But the counterfeiter, Satan, he comes in. He makes you think it's okay. It's just an affair. You got to meet your needs. Everybody does it. It's a big deal then. It's a big deal now. It's not the unforgivable sin. But it is sin that needs to be confessed and forsaken. Then we get a wife. We get married. Trace and I had to speak at a couples conference yesterday. No, what's today? Friday morning. 70 couples. It's a ministry that was started 10 years ago, and they had Tracy and I speak at the first conference when it was like 4 or 5 people. Now they had 70 couples. It was huge. Yeah, God was doing some things. So exposing the enemy. When you're dating, you can't keep your hands off each other. Then you get married and you run from each other. The devil's a liar. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, you got to expose the light. That's what light does. It exposes the darkness. But the darkness don't want to conform to it. Don't want to be exposed. Couples admit, oh man, I would date her. I would do this. We'd go out and now I'm married. I'm tired. I'm not in the mood. I'm this. The devil's a liar. So he wants you to make you think it's okay when you're not married. Then when you get married, he wants you to think, oh no, I ain't got time for that. But okay, so I told him to leave him a cliffhanger, but look what it says. I mean, I just couldn't leave it at verse 10. Verse 11, the man that lied with his, so God doesn't discriminate. He's saying all sexual sins are bad outside of marriage. You don't want to hear that, but this is the word. In our purpose and purity class for the last 7 years I've been teaching our youth. It's a great thing. But God wants you to be married so that you're not all jacked up and your emotions and all this, how you attach to losers, and then you mess around and get a baby with a loser, and you just, oh my, you're attached with him for the rest of your life, and you know, don't believe the lies. And you're at a bus stop with a stroller and it's hot, and he's passing by, he got some other chick now, and he waves at you, and you got the baby, and then you got to go into the clinic to get the shots, and your nose is running, and the diaper's dirty, and the devil told you it was okay, and ain't nobody gonna find out. So it's an order to it. I know we don't want to hear it, but that's what we're here for. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Verse 11, the man that lied with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall be surely put to death. The blood shall be upon them. So let me see. You lie with your father's wife. Anyway, I can't even. Hey, was that your stepdad? I don't know what's going on there. But and if a man lied with his daughter-in-law. Okay, so now I'm sleeping with my son's wife. Oh, gosh. Both of them shall be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Okay, that's I'm confused now. Okay, I get it. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lie with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God doesn't discriminate. God makes it plain. So I'm not supposed to be sleeping with another man. So I guess I shouldn't marry another man either. I was at the gym and they were, hey, you're a pastor, right? Do you marry? I have somebody get married, and the other guy, hey, will you? Anyway. he asked me, he said, would you marry two men or two? I said, no, I wouldn't do that. I'm a Christian pastor. I wouldn't do that. What if they didn't know? I said, well, I ain't going to marry nothing that don't know what they married. I said, I try and do a strict vetting. Now I ain't going to be doing no examinations or nothing, but come on now. No, I'm not doing it. I'm trying to get through this, y'all. I told you I got to go to verse 16, and I'm leaving y'all hanging because it's almost 10:45. Jerry, stop, man. And if a man, oh, gosh. Well, let me fix my glass. I don't think I'm seeing this right. And if a man take a wife and her mother, that's a bad dude right there, boy. Some crazy stuff. It is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. Get rid of that. That is some wickedness right there. He thought he was a bad dude, so he got set on fire, didn't he? And if a man lie with a beast, what if she just looks like a beast? So. Okay. Is that a Beauty and the Beast? Okay, all right. What if you can't tell? Okay, sorry, honey. All right. I'm trying to get to 16. I don't think I'm going to make it to verse 16. Oh, my gosh. If a man lie with the beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the beast. And if a woman approach a beast, like a cougar or something like that. What if it's a cougar that approaches a beast? So then it's too. Anyway. If a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereunto, thou shalt kill the woman, and the beast they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And she approached the beast. I said this before. I know the beast is like, but I wasn't looking, even looking at her. She approached me. Oh, I got to get killed. So, right out of you, he was just standing there. She approached him. I got to die because she approached me. Okay, it was a big deal then, it's a big deal now. So when you put it in context, God didn't discriminate against adulterers or pedophiles or fornicators. He said, man, I don't like any of it. He created it to be good. Remember, even in the wheat and the tares, it said he sowed good seed. Marriage, he saw that it was not good. Only time he said it's not good when we saw man was alone. He said, this is not good. I got to get him someone to help him and compliment him. And the two shall be one. He implemented sex so they can enjoy each other, be fruitful and multiply and become one in an intimate way and a physical way. And it was good. But we see how the enemy has perverted. So here are these guys, back to John 8. Eight, four, and five. They said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law, and we just read the law. They're not even quoting. Be careful of those quoting half scriptures. They're not even quoting the law right. You got to know the word so you know what the law, what the word says, because people will misquote scriptures to manipulate you and advance their ulterior motive. Verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? What do you say? And that's where we're going to pick it up next week. Let us go ahead and pray, and then we're going to pray for Sister Irene, and then we're going to dismiss just a few more minutes. So if you would, just bow your heads and just think about, don't get caught up in the minor stuff. In the midst of our struggles, because we have the light of Christ in us and we're still going to struggle. Somebody say amen. But the bottom line is that you're not practicing darkness. You're not walking in darkness. You're not dark when you have Christ in you, even when you have struggles. It just means that we have Christ in us and we're struggling with this issue in this area. And it doesn't give us a license to continue in that area, but Christ is in us. And I'm not darkness, and I'm not walking in darkness. It's not about you being good or bad, or young or old, or hot or cold, or your political affiliation. It doesn't matter your job. It doesn't matter if you are poor or rich or successful, or people would say you're a failure. It doesn't matter what they say. It matters what God says, and God says that in him is light and there's no darkness at all. Jesus said he's the light of the world. Jesus put his light, he puts his light in us, and he tells us to let it shine. Gives new meaning to this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. He's talking about the spiritual realm. Don't be deceived. Don't let people make you think you have to do something to be saved. You have the light in you, you are already saved. Don't walk in the darkness. Have your light expose that darkness. And people will be offended, but they were offended in Jesus. So Lord, help us to live a disciplined life that we don't get caught up into stuff for it we're not supposed to be involved in. Sexual sins and any other type of sin. Don't let us practice any of it. God, give us the discipline to walk in the light, to have a transformed life. So we need your help. We confess and forsake all the sins. Don't let us argue with folks. Let's just ask them, let's cut to the chase. Are you in the light or are you in the darkness? And you can only be in the light if you're in Christ. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's the bottom line to this orderly system of deception that we call the world. Thank you for this time, Lord. We don't want to be business as usual. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going to ask Sister Irene to come up quickly. I'm so grateful. When do you go back, Sister Irene? Tomorrow, okay. And I'm just going to ask some of the family, you know how we do it. Stand right here. Right here.
Right here.
Yep. Some of the family to come up and just lay hands on our missionary that we partnered with. And we're so grateful, Sister Irene, because our desire is to touch the world. Go ye therefore, and you allow us to do that through your ministry. We're so grateful. We can't make it to Mississippi, but you're there. We love supporting you. We know that only what we do for Christ will last.
Yes.
The only thing we take to heaven with us is other people. So God, we thank you for those little children, God, that are being saved, whose hearts are being touched with the gospel, going into the schools and sharing the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. And we have a part in that, a small part, Lord, but we're so thankful. Thank you for Sister Irene and the other ministries and other missions members that's on her team, what they do, and the youth that they're training up to and equipping to go out and share the gospel, Lord, the youth, getting them at a young age. And we know research shows that it's so much easier for a kid, 85% of the kids under 12 that are introduced to Jesus Christ become saved. After 13 or 14, the numbers go way down. Thank you for Sister Irene and the important work that she's doing. Those youngsters are receiving Christ. Then they're being trained on how to evangelize. They're being equipped to teach Christ. And then they're leading others to Christ at an early age. So God, we pray right now through the power of your Holy Spirit. We're praying for her church. We're praying for the other churches. We're praying for revival, not only here in our hearts, but in Mississippi in their hearts. Let them see the gold mine they have, so to speak, with schools that are open to the church coming in and preaching the gospel. We're here, they would shut us out and want to run us out. God, let the pastors and the leaders in Mississippi see they have to go into those schools and catch them before the gangs and the drugs and the opioids and all the other foolishness catches them. They're starting young, listening to music and social media, God, so we're starting just as young to bring them the gospel. If they can understand the world, they can understand the word.
Yes, yes.
So equip your leaders, Lord. Give them discernment. Give them practicality.
Yes.
I was always taught, you teach the scripture so a kid can understand it.
Yes.
Lord, help them to teach the scripture so a kid can understand
yes.
it. We pray for transformed lives.
Yes.
Give Sister Irene traveling graces back to Mississippi. Cover and keep her. Bless her family, Lord. All that she put her hands to, cause it to progress in you. Empower her through the Holy Spirit. Give her discernment, Lord. Let her hear what you're speaking. Give her wisdom, Lord, as she's navigating and training and teaching and working with all types of people, Lord. Give her wisdom. And then send the right people, Lord. The godly people who have a heart for helping kids and not predators or anyone with a different agenda, God. Send her the right people to advance your kingdom. Send her kingdom-minded people and who see the value of working with those young kids and bringing them to Christ. We rejoice with her, Lord, with those 74 souls that came to Christ. And we pray for so many more. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we decree and declare that you are the light of the world. In you there's no darkness. We decree and declare that we'll let our light shine, that others might see the good works in us and glorify God which is in heaven. Let her light shine. Let all the workers' light shine so those kids will be attracted to Christ, to the Christ in them. Thank you, Lord, for this partnership, this kingdom partnership, this divine appointment that we have. We bless her on authority of Scripture. We bless her. We bless her ministry. And we ask that you would bless it as well, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Sister Irene. Had to cut off the mic. Oh, I appreciate you so much. And if you need anything, let us know. If there's anything additional that you might need, let us know.
Much prayer.
Okay, we got you. And we have our